Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and syndicated on missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. So everyone is talking about the kids. But what about how you're holding things together? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? Do you feel like you're the forgotten factor? If you're not taking care of yourself or if you're falling apart, you can't take care of others. So I have a quick 5-minute super powerful strategy on how to shift your mind, your body, and spirit from overwhelm to tranquility. And I'll walk you through it complimentary in my Manifesting Tranquility session. So email me at jackie@integrativeminds.com to schedule your session. The email address is in the show notes. And also, don't forget to order my number one Amazon best-selling book called Amazing Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership, 15 Simple Tips Successful Companies Use That Families Can Implement at Home. It's a key to creating a family that's productive, that's harmonious, and unified in values, missions, visions, and goals. Our guest today is a self-made mompreneur and human potential advocate. She is nationally recognized as a vibrant and dynamic public speaker, radio show personality, and television host. She is the founder of OurMilkMoney.com, which is a national online business directory of self-employed parents. So make sure you go over there and sign up. She's also a member of the PFLAG Speakers Bureau, educating and advocating for LGBTQ, and she is a public motivator dedicated to advancing women's leadership worldwide. She's all over the radio, and she has 3 shows. She's a host of iHeartRadio's This Little Parent Stayed Home, where 6 million listeners tune in for resources and support. She's also the co-host of Wake Up TV, a nationally televised broadcast for the new mainstream. And you can also catch her on her new iHeartRadio and on-camera live stream show called Dramatic Impact with Ali, where she interviews successful actors, directors, writers, and producers in Hollywood to lift up aspiring artists around the world. She currently lives with her husband and their 2 sons in the northern suburbs of Los Angeles in a home filled with lots of love and laughter. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Ali Lopreet. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Jacqueline. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I was checking out your website and everything you do, and I don't even know where to start with our interview. I know originally we talked about the subject was rebuilding the family village, but tell me how you got started in this.
I think it's really simple. You know, when we become moms, something about us changes. Something really big shifts with us. Most of us are not prepared for it at all, no matter how hard we tried, no matter how many books we read, or how many parents who were parents before us said, this is what you have to do to prepare. We don't hear it. There's no way to actually prepare us. And I think it's almost culture shock. So for me, I got started in all of this because there was a major shift that happened when I became a mom. Before that, I was climbing corporate ladders. I was an actress. I was working in the entertainment industry. And my husband and I were also, you know, he was sort of on the same path as me, also an actor, also sort of building a more of a corporate role in the entertainment industry. And we thought, let's have a kid. And, you know, because we were telling like the same stories to one another, we're like, we need to bring somebody else into our club. Like it was time, you know, or like we'd been to Disneyland one too many times without anyone young. And we're like, this is no fun. It's time to bring in someone else. And we thought a child was going to fit into our lives like a puppy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was prepared, but like, you know, interviewing daycares and, you know, like we were preparing to just have somebody else raise the child while we kept going.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, the moment that my child was born, nothing that I put into place was effective or was going to serve me. Nothing. And my husband was like, what do you mean? We had planned on having you continue to work, you know. I said, I'm not. I have to be home with my son. I worked for a year with my child in daycare, and it was the worst year of my life. I was nauseous having to leave him every day.
Yeah, it's a rude awakening.
Yeah. And we were like, we can't, you know, my husband's like, we can't lose your salary. Like, we're like paycheck to paycheck. And now we have another mouth to feed. Like, what are you, crazy? You can't just go home. A strange turn of events is that, you know, you put something out to the universe, it's going to support you. So I was looking for a way home. I couldn't find it. I was trying to find some kind of job that would allow me to work from home. Never found it. But I did get laid off. And
sometimes that could be a blessing, right?
Yes. And let me tell you that I never would have quit unless I had that safety net. And I didn't feel like I had a safety net. But it's amazing what you can accomplish when you're thrown into a situation and how much I've learned, especially from that. So from there, I really started advocating for parents. I understood the tug of war that they must have been going through, wanting to provide for their children, but also wanting to nurture and be there for their children. And this is by no means me saying that parents belong in the home. I had a little bit of, you know, I had people that were sort of thought that I was protesting that, you know, the mother's place was in the home. I would never do that. Never say that. But I did feel that there were probably a lot of other moms who felt the way I did, which was, I want to build something, but right now my child needs me and I'm torn. And so I started building, you know, our milk money came out of that. This Little Parent Stayed Home was the radio show that came out of that. And really it was a journey that I went on, you know, I wasn't the expert necessarily. I just went on authentically on this journey and took people with me. And I feel like we kind of figured it out together. We figured out the way, the rules and the guidelines that we should all be abiding by in order to make our lives a little bit more joyful and less stressful. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking here. Yeah.
Yeah. I think parenting is like partly learning, right, the techniques and the tools and all these things. But then there's that part that you just have to use your intuition. And mm-hmm. when you can combine those two together, that's when I think the great parenting and family and harmony comes out of it.
I couldn't agree more. I think that very often we bury our intuition under all of these rules and things that society tells us. We need to be parenting this way and this way. And, you know, society, including ourselves, I mean, we're part of the problem very often. We don't even know it, but we're critical of other parents. We're critical of ourselves. And I found somewhere along the way that I was parenting for other people, that I was, you know, I was making sure that my son wasn't being disrupted for their comfort.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It wasn't being a good parent to him. It was me going, oh God, like I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't being judged. And somewhere along the way, I started realizing that that was probably one of the biggest issues that we were facing in modern parenting, was that we're parents are being scrutinized. We are under the microscope. We feel like everybody's watching us and judging us. Teachers also are, you know, we hear them going, oh, it's the parents, because, you know, the child is not doing well in school. It must be the parents. And, you know, and I will say firsthand that I blamed myself a lot for my first child, who was definitely, he definitely gave us a run for our money. Like,
The first one is that awakening. Yeah.
It makes sense now that he's 11. He was never meant to be a child. He was an old soul. He hated being a baby. He took it out on his mom. He took it out on anybody who wouldn't let him be an adult when he was an infant. Like, I'm not kidding. He hated being buckled in. He wasn't like, oh, mommy, like holding on to me like I'd protect him. He saw me as his jailer. The moment he was born, he saw me as that person is keeping me from running around and doing what I want to do. It was a struggle, but I felt very attacked by other parents going, you need to teach your child better manners, or why do you teach your child to misbehave, or why do you teach him to run away from you, or why is he running away from you? He must hate you. You must be doing something at home to make him hate you. You know, there were all of these pre-existing ideas that were so wrong, and I was constantly defending myself.
Yeah,
and, you know, and it led to a breakdown. I mean, it really led to a major breakdown for me and a breakthrough.
Yeah,
that if I was going through this, then other parents were going through this too. And so when I started talking about this, millions of parents, literally across the country, started saying, "Oh my gosh, you're telling my story."
Yeah.
So that gave me the first clue that village is broken, and we really need to make a huge effort to connect and support one another and really check ourselves and make sure that we're not part of the problem. Make sure that we're not judging and make sure that we're not just assuming that a parent is doing a bad job.
We've advanced so much from Dr. Spock, the first parenting book. And in a way, I feel like we know so much more from neuroscience and everything like that. But then we can't just leave all the good stuff that we had before, the connectiveness, the village, the tribe. This is going to be a two-part question.
Okay.
What do you think the village was like before? And what do you think the toughest thing is for the modern parents?
I had a hint. I've heard about what the village was like before, like from my family. I was raised in a Prussian Jewish family. So part Russia, part Poland, and very much of a village. Even when I was growing up, there was, I grew up in Phoenix, but there was a Jewish community that was like, where we were disciplined by our parents' friends who would yell at us,
yep.
And they would hit us. But they would yell at us, and we, I'm not saying we liked that, but it was really, I think our parents just trusted their friends. I have a couple of friends like that. I think it's still sort of prevalent in the Jewish community from a lot of the East Coast. When I go back to New York, I noticed it. I noticed that I always thought it would be so stressful to raise a child in a big city like New York. But I saw the parents were very different. They were much more relaxed. They were much more, they were a little nervous about their licking the subway poles, If a stroller got loose, somebody was going to grab it.
Yeah, yeah.
They knew that. And there were times where you would see a mom like struggling with one kid and they've got a baby carriage and somebody would say, give me the baby. You would trust this stranger. Here's my baby. I'm running to the bathroom to take this one, And that was the term that I kept hearing. Give me the baby.
Yeah.
Give me the baby. And that to me was such a, it was such a village. The thing that I noticed, this was a couple of years ago, but right before I went to New York, I was on the plane. And that's something that I also noticed was when you were on an airplane, I always look for the moms because I know how they feel. I know they are terrified that they are going to be responsible for the entire airplane's comfort level. Their attention, and you see them with all of their activities, and they make a noise, and you see them looking up and apologizing to everybody. I've even seen moms go and hand out cards to people and say, "I have a child. I'm doing."
Yeah.
So they're apologetic, and I think there's. I mean, I understand that that's that their intuition is to care for other people and be concerned about other people's comfort level. But I think that's a problem. I think that we are caring about other people and we're not paying attention to our child. Yeah. We are burying our instincts.
And you're not caring for yourself. You're sacrificing yourself. You're so worried about everybody else. You're not even thinking about yourself.
Exactly. And so what I did, especially because I'm not a parenting expert, but I am a parent advocate. There's a lot of people advocating for the kids and I love that. But I care so much about what's happening with the parents right now. I feel like they've been forgotten. I feel like they have been so abused and scrutinized and, that they have lost themselves in this world that is so judgmental. So what I do is my part, and I give other parents permission to do the same thing. When I'm on an airplane, I literally scan the airplane looking for the mom who I just described. And I will look at her and I will say, "You need any help? I'm here. You give me the baby. If I can choose the seat next to her, I will." And I'll do her dirty work for her. I'll leave her alone. She's doing her best.
Yeah.
I will be her backup right there. I will be the village. And I know that that mother is going to be so grateful.
Yes.
That one day she'll pay it forward when she is able. My kids are older now, so I don't have to, I don't have to worry so much. And my kids see me doing it too. So now they step in and they'll entertain the baby. But I think that that is also giving a really clear signal to society that we're done catering to you and we're done trying to make you comfortable. Because honestly, I think it's about time that the rest of the world start bending over backwards for the moms of the world. We are raising the future. We're doing best. We don't need a thank you. We just need to feel like the world isn't against us.
Yeah, just an appreciation. Like, thank you. I just need you to realize and a little empathy.
Yeah. And I mean, we know. And here's the thing. And we know how other non-parents are thinking.
Yes.
We're them.
Yep.
We were them. And let's be honest, you know, before my husband and I had children, we were going, my kid's never going to act like that. You know, we were judgmental. So we know what other people are thinking when they're looking at us.
Yeah.
Why should I have to have my dinner disrupted because that baby's crying?
Yeah.
We were thinking that. We know that we were judging and blaming.
Yeah.
And once we become parents, I think the problem is that we're still stuck in between the world of feeling the judgment, feeling the blame. We're doing the judging and blaming as well because that's a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. But what we're not realizing is that when we are doing that, we are part of the problem. And so the best thing that I figured I could do was never shame anybody for how they're behaving. Just lead by example. Just be there. Just support somebody. Give me the baby.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Give me the baby. Go take a nap. You know, whatever it is you need, just demonstrating and giving other people permission to do the same. And I think that, to be honest, has been the shift, and it's going to continue to be what we need to get us our village back.
Yeah. So we have lots of moms and dads out there feeling overwhelmed. Until we get society on board with helping, what tips do you have for those who are overwhelmed with their career and their family?
Well, yes, you're right. Everybody's overwhelmed. But everybody's overwhelmed for different reasons. I can't really say, oh, everybody's overwhelmed because of one big blanket reason. There's a lot going on. They are overwhelmed because the world is in a strange place right now. They are overwhelmed because there's more dangers than we were ever prepared for. We were prepared for different kinds of dangers than what's shown up. We are overwhelmed because we're trying to run businesses and bring in an income and put a roof over our kids' head. We're also trying to educate them, and we're also trying to teach them manners and teach them how to get along in the world. And we're feeling the pressure of everybody else. Like I said, we're not doing good enough.
Yep.
So that's just a little bit of why we feel overwhelmed. There's single parents that are feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
There's parents, and they could be single for a variety of reasons, whether it's a co-parenting, divorce situation, or they've lost someone, or they never had another parent. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, the list goes on and on.
So what can we do? I am divorced. Yeah. I want to do the best, and I'm always trying to learn. This is why I have a parent radio show, right? Because we want to do it. So what tips can you give me and other parents?
Okay, so listen very carefully.
Okay. I am.
And the reason I say that is because what I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to find a way to apply it to your own life. Because everybody, like I said, has a different reason for why they're feeling overwhelmed. You have to identify the things that are taking up your focus and your energy that are not serving you.
Mm.
Okay. So again, if your focus and your feeling is that you're not doing a good enough job as a parent because somebody else is making you feel that way, that is an energy that is never going to serve you.
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
It is also keeping you from actually identifying the things that you can improve upon. We all want to be good parents.
Yeah.
We all want to be good parents. I mean, think about that. I don't know a mother who doesn't want to do better. Even a mother who's really messing up. I mean, like a mother who has an addiction problem or taking on terrible kind of jobs or abandoning their children. They're choosing to go earn money. So they're leaving their five-year-old at home. I mean, everybody's making the best choices that they possibly can. And so that's another thing is, so look out for the other parents, because I promise you, when you start to see what other people are going through, that's also going to help you see how you can improve upon your own things and how you can be a better contributor to the village. But as far as overwhelm goes, I promise you there are things that you can identify that are sucking up your energy that don't need to be, you don't need to. One of the hardest things that I learned as a parent, and I have this in my book, is I think it's called Falling Gracefully, I think that's the name of the chapter. When my son was just learning how to walk, he was a big kid and he was learning to walk a lot later than a lot of the other kids, probably because he was such a big kid. And I was following him around. I was so worried that he was going to fall and hit his head on the corner and bleed and hurt himself. And I was at a play date and a friend of mine said to me, "You have to let him fall by himself. Don't catch him." And I said, "But he'll get hurt." And she said, "Yes, He will get hurt. You have to let him. Because once he gets hurt, he's going to learn the next time how to fall more gracefully. And that became sort of a theme for me and as a parent. Let them fall so that they learn to fall more gracefully. Mm-hmm. That is a very hard and scary thing to do as a parent. It's putting your faith and your trust that they're just going to, as little people, adapt and learn how to cope with life, with all of their life lessons. I'm not saying don't be there for them. I'm not saying don't guide them and support them. But when your child is struggling, allow them to struggle and figure it out. And, you know, be there for them to offer advice. But when you're trying to solve all of your children's problems on top of society's problems, yep, and on top of feeling like you're trying to, you know, be a good parent for everybody else who's judging you, when you are doing all of that, that is taking up a huge amount of your energy. And no wonder you're overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you can let that go and you can say, my child, I believe in him or her. I believe that him or her will figure out a way to grow and flourish from the adversity that they're in without my fixing it for them, without my being the safety net for them. When you can let that go, you have just released a lot of overwhelm for yourself as a mother. And when you don't care what other people are thinking about you in public, you'd be surprised at how much that releases a lot of
burden. What reminds me of is overwhelm kind of goes with anxiety, because anxiety is really about worrying about something that is not going to happen or hasn't happened yet. And so I think that overwhelm works with anxiety. It goes hand in hand. For me, it's like when it comes to feelings, it's a choice we make. We choose to be feeling overwhelmed. We choose to feel stressed. Yeah. What we learn about emotions and feelings are all up to us to feel, to, and then we get to choose the opposite. And our mind can't feel the opposite. Like, we can't feel mad and love at the same time.
That's exactly right.
So if you choose to feel peace, then you're not going to feel overwhelmed, right?
And that's easier said than done. I agree with you 100%. But I think that it's important to address how to do that. Go, well, how do I just choose to be at peace when I'm anxious? You know, that anxiety can really take over. And, you know, somebody who's I struggle with a mental illness of depression. So I know. And I know what happens when that anxiety takes over. But I think, again, you have to learn to identify where the anxiety is coming from.
Yep.
And then really ask yourself those questions. Is it worth me being angry? You said something very key. Is it worth me being afraid of something that hasn't happened yet? Like, yes, we want to prepare. We want to prepare to make sure that there's less mess in the future. However, the better way to prepare is to just trust that if there is mess in the future, we'll figure it out.
Yep.
And that, like everything else, takes practice.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get it right away, but one of the best recommendations that I can say to anybody is start practicing. Start putting in these new habits, the habitually talking to yourself, habitually talking, you know, connecting with the self-talk that you have with your mind and with your body. And how much are you beating yourself up? How, like, really, really get into your own mind and start identifying where your anxiety is coming from. And slowly you'll be able to chip away at it, because anxiety, overwhelm is anxiety that haven't even happened yet. It's exactly that. Yeah.
And I think that as moms, we want to do it all. We want to be the best mom, the best worker, the best businesswoman, the best neighbor, the best friend. And if I get a laundry list, I just sit down, I go through there, and I just go, how important is this right now? And then I'll just either take it off my list or just not even worry about it, because we can't do it all. And I know that certain things, just sitting there with my children and having a really nice meal and not worrying about a to-do list is so much more joyful.
Well, and here's something else. You know, you said we want to do it all, okay? Ask yourself the question, why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do it all? You know, and really, like you said, go through this list. And this is a really hard thing for parents, but this is me advocating for parents. Go through and say, is this finding me the highest level of joy right now?
Right.
Right now, in every given moment, check yourself and say, is this giving me the highest level of joy? And I know that's really hard for parents, because parents go, well, it's not about me. It's about my kids. No, it is about you. It is about you, because you're leading by example to your kids.
Absolutely.
So when your children see that you are putting yourself first, and I know that sounds like, well, gosh, that's being selfish.
Yep.
No, it is, but it's teaching them how to care for themselves. Everybody learns how to care for themselves the right way. Everybody knows how to check in with themselves and go, this is making me happy. I'm not going to do it then. You know, if everybody learns how to do that, that's less overwhelm for you. It's less overwhelm for them. They're not feeling like you're always going to be disappointed in them. It's a wonderful way to raise your children, is to give them the freedom to figure it out and to figure out what makes them happy.
Yeah.
Support them in that. You know, a friend of mine and I were talking about how to find that joyful moment, every given moment. We were talking about, well, how do you find the joy in, like, you know, doing laundry? But you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, my husband, I gave him laundry as a task a long time ago because I was overwhelmed. And I said, can you just help me with this? And I said, I can take it back. He's like, you know, 8 years later, I said, I can take the laundry back now. I'm doing better. My kids are older. No, he wouldn't give it back to me. And I realized it's because he found the joy in it.
Yeah.
He loves doing folding laundry and watching his sports on Saturday.
Yeah. And it smells so good and it feels so warm. There's a comfort for it.
That he didn't want to take, you know, and for me, you know, I found joy in when I'm cleaning up. I put on my favorite music. I used to hate cleaning and I still don't love it, but I've reserved my favorite music and dancing around the house, you know, like I preserved it. So now it's like, it's become my highest level of joy. I look forward to those moments.
We are leaders and we have to lead by example.
Yeah.
When we keep saying, do this, they don't hear it. They only see what we're doing though. And we're not being calm. We're yelling, we're screaming, we're demanding. When you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others, and they're seeing how it should be done and not how we want them to do it.
That is absolutely, that is so true. And that applies to
everything. Yes, this is in your business too.
It doesn't just apply to you being happy. It applies to how you deal with adversity.
Yeah.
I think you and I had this conversation before. I share probably more with my kids than most parents do. Parents who say, you shouldn't burden your kids with what's happening in your business, and you shouldn't burden your kids with what's happening in the world. Well, my kids, let me tell you, I don't burden them with it, but I tell them I'm having a bad day and I'm frustrated. And sometimes I'll even say, what do you think I should do? They love offering me their advice. They love to be a part of that. But not only that, they see me problem solving as a grown-up, and it teaches them, it gives them a permission, like you said, to figure things out on their own, to keep trying until they figure it out.
Yeah, this is how we all build resilience, is we figure things out, that there's always a way to get to that answer. Everybody has different roads, but it all leads back to Rome, right? So we have a few more minutes, and I want to plug your new book, because I know it's really important and it's coming out. So can you tell us a little bit about your new book?
Yes. It's called You Got This.
Yeah, we do.
It was originally, the publisher actually originally came to me and said, we want to do a book about you being everybody's cheerleader. And, you know, the original cover was supposed to be me wearing a cheerleading uniform that said mom. It looked a little bit too much like a book about cheerleading, and not about me being your cheerleader as a parent. But really, I wrote this book because I feel that everybody has the ability to perform better. But so many of us, in fact, most of us on the planet, like we were talking about earlier, we are stuck underneath all of this pressure and all of this overwhelm that we don't even know our own abilities. We don't even know our own human potential. We don't even realize what we're capable of. We have these conversations in our minds that keep telling us we're no good, we suck, we're not doing it right, our children are really going to pay for that in therapy, you know? Like, well, I really messed up on that one, you know?
Or they'll be living with us forever.
Right. And we seem to think that beating ourselves up is going to make it better.
Yeah.
And not. But what is amazing to me is from all of the clients and all of the parents and all of the people that have called into my radio show over the years, what I have seen is that nobody realizes their greatest potential. And I see it. I see how good we can all be. And it excites me to no end to know that I see something in you that you may not see in yourself.
Yeah.
And so this book is not just me cheerleading. It's not just me telling you that I believe in you and go, go, go. But it's really about how to become your own cheerleader. It's how to identify the things that are setting you back. You know, it's how to get back up when you have not had a win in 3 weeks.
A little sleep.
Right? Right. It's how to identify the patterns. It's how to forgive yourself for what you're not capable of yet. It's how to find joy in the growth that we give ourselves, that we want to obtain. We all want to be better. We all want to be better moms and better business people. But overall, we want to just have a joyful life, and we want to know that we're passing that down to our children. And it's a lot simpler than you think. Probably the most difficult thing is learning how to let go of these things that we've held up as so important, that is really kind of bogging us down. And so the book is really a permission slip for you. It gives you some action items so that you can identify what is holding you back. And I'll tell you right now, the magic word to me that plays itself throughout my book, you got this, is surrender, allowing the worst case scenario to happen, and to just trust that you got it. You got this. You can get through the worst case, the thing that you think, I'll never get through this. You surrender to it. You won't believe how many times answers and the solution and the support system is going to show up for you. That's really what this book is.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. We have about one more minute, and I know you are giving a giveaway out. Can you tell really quick what the giveaway is? And I'll put the link in the show notes too.
Yes, actually, I wrote an ebook called The Art of Alignment, and it was before I wrote You Got This, and it was a free ebook, and I'm still giving that out. And that actually also gives you action items to help you identify the things that are, you know, sort of stressing you out. It also comes with a meditation, a free meditation in 8 minutes. If you're like totally overwhelmed as a mom, I love this. Lock yourself in a closet, go to the bathroom, and then pop this little MP3 in. And in 8 minutes, you should get to a more grounded space so that you can problem solve. Because when you're anxious, when you have that anxiety, you have completely cut off your supply to problem solving. The ebook and the meditation really should kind of help you clear away the big mess that's happening in your mind enough for you to go, oh, I got this. So that's my gift for you. And I really hope that it benefits anyone who wants it.
Awesome. So Allie's website is Allie, A-L-Y, Lopreet, L-O-P-R-E-double-L, Lopreet.com. Her email address is Allie, A-double-L-Y, at AllieLopreet.com. You can get all of this information plus more in the show notes. So thank you, listener. Until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.